Welcome to Turning Two. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Welcome to the Super Bowl edition. This February 11th, 2022. The weather outside is cloudy and 39 degrees. And so that snow is melting. I have a very special guest. First of all, my co-host is taking care of his pastoral business. So Pastor Burns, we'll see you next week's show. The guy, our guest we have, he's in L.A., so he's on L.A.'s time. He has a new child. He has a lovely wife. And I'll let him talk a little bit about that. He's a dear, dear, dear. I call him my son, although he can't bowl, but we'll talk about that later. But he is a lawyer. He has owned football teams. He has given more scholarships than anybody that I can think of. I can go on. I've watched him as a child grow up to be a man, and now he has his own child. As Fred Hammond would say, put your hands together for Terrence Williams of the Known Entity TJ. My brother, how you doing?
Ah, my man. Well, it's not 39 degrees where I'm at, so I'm doing great.
What's the temperature that where you're at?
It's about 79. So
you stink.
Catch by about 40 degrees.
Well, you deserve it. You paid that price. Terrence William officially, I call him TJ. Just don't call him late for dinner. We're gonna talk about Super Bowl. Now we can give you the fun facts and how much they spend on liquor and how many vacation sick days that people use and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to think about when you watch the Super Bowl tomorrow, there are some interesting facts that are not represented. For instance, African Americans represent 70%, 75% of the NFL. How many coaches do they possibly that are African American? Approximately two, roughly. Approximately two. I wanted to get TJ on because he's a lawyer. He represents NFL players, but he's also on the team. And I want you to break down what happened to Flores in Miami, and we're going to have a casual conversation. So if that's all right with you, let's step into that conversation. TJ, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Let's jump into it. Yeah, so, you know, I'm born and raised in Muskegon, right there off Apple. Been in L.A. for, 13, 14 years. Moved out here, went to law school out here, started my career out here, and just kind of laid down roots. Met my wife out here, got married. Like you said, just had our first baby, so that's exciting, man. It's a new world. So new baby, new house, wife, all that. So you know, now I'm an attorney, as you mentioned. I work in sports and entertainment. And then also, I didn't even tell you this before, but just recently launched a production company with a new partner of mine. So,
wow.
So excited. We got some really great stuff that we're doing and excited about. And funny enough, one of the projects that we're working on lines right up with this, with our first topic of conversation. So, yeah, it's life is good, man. I'm just enjoying it, you know, trying to not bowl too much so that you can have a chance when we go. Because you know, if I practice too much, you don't even stand a chance. So I can't remember the last time you beat me in bowling. Maybe when I was like 12.
Oh, come on, that's another show right there. Lying is not prohibited on the show. All right.
You don't want me to tell the people how I beat you with your own ball?
Yeah, you know, that happened maybe once or twice. So anyway, TJ, let's talk about the NFL. and you represent some NFL players. But I want to talk about the lack of minorities. If we represent 70+70% in the NFL as players, and don't even talk about the NBA, it's like 84.2-85% of the players, but like the NBA, maybe 7 coaches, maybe 6 coaches. I'm talking about head coaches.
Right.
Now, some people will say that there's been some progress, like we'll have our first female official in this NFL Super Bowl game. I'm saying, where has it been? And why is it that we have so many assistant NFL coaches, but when it comes down leading, it doesn't happen?
You know, it's interesting. So my partner in my production company, actually, he works in sports as well. He's worked in sports for a long time. He has a show on Peacock. He's a sports analyst. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny, we were sitting at breakfast yesterday and we were talking about all of this stuff. And he pointed out a couple of things that were interesting that I hadn't really thought about. One, there aren't that many black assistant coaches. Mm. I think there are, so you have 32 teams. I think you have a total of maybe 11 defensive coordinators that are black. And I think 4 offensive coordinators that are black.
Really?
So you're looking at, if you look at 32 teams and you figure offensive and defensive coordinator on each team, that's 64 jobs. Maybe 15 of them are black men. And if that's the pool that that head coaches are mostly getting hired from, the part of the problem is the pool of qualified applicants is too small, because they're not getting those opportunities.
Not only that, if you look at it, even college, those numbers are dismal as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what level you look at. The numbers are disproportionate across the board.
Now, when you had a football team here, you had the football team, your coaches just represented it all, just everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's something that you have to be intentional about. So, you know, you have to, we were... I keep hearkening back to this breakfast that I had yesterday, because we were talking about this very topic. Mm-hmm. But one of the folks that was at breakfast with us is a very prominent ex NFL head coach, a black head coach. Mm-hmm. We got into the conversation, and one of the things we talked about was how it takes an organization being intentional with what their, with what their blueprint is, how they want to go about the process, and then actually following it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the Steelers, because obviously the Steelers always come up in this conversation, because as we know, we talk about the Rooney Rule, right?
Yeah, the Rooney Rule. Break down that rule, because a lot of people don't understand that, know that rule.
So essentially what the Rooney Rule is it says that every team has to at least interview a minority for any opening head coach position, offensive or defensive coordinator position, I believe also GM.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to interview a minority for those positions.
It's amazing that it's 2022 and we have to have a rule called a Rooney, have rules like this.
And so where that came from was Rooney, you know, the Rooney family, owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers, were known for, they had an intentional idea that they wanted to create diversity within their organization. And so they really pushed for this thing. And so we were talking about the Steelers, and this coach was saying that, the Steelers, again, are known for, they've had, I think, 3 coaches in the last, like, 50 years, 56
right.
years.
Only 3.
And the reason for that is, I think it was Art Rooney, the owner at the time. He had a very clear blueprint of what he wanted it to look like. He said, okay, we're in Pittsburgh. We're a cold weather city. We're blue collar. You know, to win in the playoffs in cold weather, you need defense and you need running. So we want a defensive minded coach. We want a coach who's a teacher, who, you know, who can teach guys and who pushes guys to be hard workers. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had Chuck Knoll, and he was there for like almost 20 years. And then when he left, Bill Cowher came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Bill Cowher left, and this is where it really got interesting. So before they hired Bill Cowher, there was a few other, I think it was Wanstead had just won 2 Super Bowls, and he's from the Pittsburgh area. And so there was a big sort of swell in the media and stuff for, you should bring him in. And he's an offensive minded guy. And so, and they said, no, we have our blueprint. We want defensive minded teacher, somebody young. That was the other thing. They want somebody young who has a 15-year plan and who's going to be here for a long time. So as much pressure as they got, they didn't do it. Same thing when Cowher was retiring, which I didn't realize this, but Bruce Arians was on the staff there when Cowher retired, or had been on the staff, who, as we know, is the coach down in Tampa Bay, just won a Super Bowl. A couple other coaches that were offensive-minded, who went on to be very successful, were in the hunt. But they went with Tomlin because they said, we want somebody who's defensive-minded, who is young, and who's a teacher of men. And Mike Tomlin fit that mold. And so why I bring that up is to say they had a clear blueprint, and a lot of these teams now, I don't think they have a clear blueprint of what they're looking for. So let's say you're the Steelers, right? And that's your blueprint. You want a young coach who's defensive minded, who's a teacher of men. Well, if you bring in a black offensive coordinator like Eric Bieniemy, he doesn't fit the blueprint. So you're bringing him in for a job that really he's not a fit for.
Setting him up for failure.
And then what happens? He takes 2 or 3 of those interviews where they're just giving it to him to fulfill some rule. And then the narrative becomes, oh, he's a bad interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then it comes back on him. When the reality is, the job, the person that you were looking for, he never met those qualifications. So,
wow.
You know, it's a systemic thing, man. It's, you know, it's not an easy thing to answer. But again, I think a big part of it comes down to the really having a focus also on the coordinator positions, because that's where a lot of head coaches come from. So getting more offensive coordinators, more defensive coordinators. And so my partner, Mike, was talking about that, and he brought up the point. He was like, you know, everybody wants to talk about the owners and how it's on the owners. But the reality is, like, the other head coaches in the NFL are getting away without taking any of the culpability. And when you look around the league, you have all these white head coaches that could and should be hiring black coordinators. You don't see it very often. You see it down in Tampa Bay. Right, you see it in
Kansas City,
but it does. So where is the outcry to all of these other coaches to say, hey, when are you going to start hiring some black offensive and defensive coordinators so that we can have people in position to be qualified and eligible for these jobs, for these head coaching jobs? Right, so it runs a lot deeper, I think, than just the surface of looking at the numbers. And obviously that's not to say that's the, you know, the cure all, but I think it's part of the problem that's not talked about enough.
The main thing is that we're not looking for a handout. We're looking for a opportunity to be a part of the be a assistant coach, yeah, or to be a coordinator or to be a general manager. We're just asking for a chance for that chance to happen. And it's amazing that in 2022, you have to have this Rooney rule But like you said, a lot of people are not giving minorities a chance to be in those positions. TJ, why is it important for 70 plus percent to see people at those head positions?
I mean, for a number of reasons. One reason, a primary reason, is so that the next generation can see what they're able to be and what they can do and what they're capable of, what's possible. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see somebody who looks like you in a position of power or in a position of influence, it allows you to see yourself in that person. And allows you to push to, you know, to fulfill the greatest potential that you have. And so I think it's important for the next generation, whether it's, and that goes for any age, right? So I think a lot of times, because these players get paid so much money, we forget that they're 20, 21, 22, 23 years old coming into the league. Like, these are young men.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And they're still, you know, they're 25-30% through their, like, they still have the majority of their life left to live after that. They're still in their formative years. They're still developing. I think we forget that because of how much money they make. But for those guys who are going to be positioned to have influence, they have platforms, for them to see people in those positions, I think is, you just can't measure, you know, what that can do for them.
Mm-hmm. Question, Miranda, you lightened up the scoreboard. She's saying representation matters because representation breeds inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. She's got a lot of stuff. The questions are starting to come in. If you want to be part of the conversation with Mr. Williams, you can check us out on 103.7 or M106 Facebook sites and throw your question at Mr. Williams. Okay, back to TJ. TJ, so, you know, and I look at this and you know, we celebrate Super Bowl. You know, we love it. Another thing, bring that question back up, please. It won't happen until white people stand up and against other white people and make them listen. It's not on the PLC to work harder or bigger, faster, stronger, smarter. It's on white people to make them changes too. Now, that's, what do you think about that? Is it gonna take for the players to stand up, or is it just going to take, how do we fix this problem? Because when you owned a football team, you did things a lot differently, and mm-hmm. you breeded success fast. And I love the fact that you had that blueprint. Your blueprint was go, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my coaching staff. This is what we're going to bring in, and this is what we're going to do. Yeah. And it was very successful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. It's you know, I think to speak to this comment, I think that it's not wrong. And the reality is, like, this is a question or a problem that we've been trying to solve for, you know, a half a millennia, 500 years. We've been trying to figure this thing out and solve it. I don't think there's one easy and simple answer. It's a combination of all of it. Mm-hmm. I think that, yes, things won't change to the point that we want them to change until the majority, whether it's white people or men or whatever, until the majority stands up against the oppression of the minority.
Hold up. Say that again. Let's pass the play, because you're preaching, brother. You're preaching. You're taking after your dad there. Say that again.
Yeah, you know, so I said, things won't change until the majority stands up to defend the oppression of the minorities. So, you know, that is critical to change happening. Separate and apart from that is the reality that we can only control what we can control. Right? And we have to control what we can control. So we have to do the best we can. We have to, you know, some of those old monikers that really shouldn't be true, but maybe still are true, you know, that you have to do twice as much to get half as far and all of those sort of things. While we don't want them to be true and they should not be the case, if they are the case, we continue to figure out how to navigate through that world and make, you know, and do the best we can with it.
So Brian Flores, you think he has a chance, a former coach of Miami, you think he has a chance to number one, the lawsuit, number two, you think he will get a chance to coach again in or the NFL?
I do think, I think there's some legitimacy to the lawsuit. If I had to place a bet, I would bet that it will end up getting settled with a airtight confidentiality clause, a la Colin Kaepernick. So we'll never know the ins and outs of what that, you know, what that settlement was, if I had to guess.
Right.
And, you know, I think ultimately he will end up getting a job. One thing that we do know is talent typically will find its footing. And so I think somebody will give him a job.
If you look at what he did, I mean, when you allegedly, if you do that, I mean, well, you can't say allegedly because it's in, he's got it in writing. That to lose games, and he went against that and say, look, we're an NFL football team. I'm not here to lose. We're going to win. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And so I got to give him his props.
No, absolutely. Listen, and that's why I think he'll get another job. Like he won in spite of what they were trying to do.
And people, if you don't know, the owners down there wanted a better draft pick, so they basically told him to lose games and they would give him money to make sure that happens, and he didn't do it. And major kudos to him. And TJ, anything else you want to add on to that, because I want to move on to the next subject?
No, let's do it. Let's keep moving.
Okay. What we're going to do, we're almost at the bottom of the hour. I want to come back and talk to TJ about his life because it's inspiring. I want to talk about some people, you know what? Some people, when it comes down to life, they wait for people to make things happen. All my years that I've known TJ, he has not been one of those individuals. You will always be the person that Adrian College got those two touchdowns on both end zones, one on each end zone. They can never take that away from them. So listen, okay. This is bottom of the hour, 2:27. We're going to go to a commercial, and I'm going to come back and talk some more personal and stuff. You're watching Torn It 2 on 103.7 The Beat and M 106.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
And we're back on 103.7 The Beat and M106. You're watching Torn 2 or listening to Torn 2. Enjoy your Friday. I'm going to bring TJ back in. TJ, I want to talk to you about, you know, you look at the Rooney Rule, affirmative action and all this kind of stuff. But you look at people that say, you know what, I'm going to be a trailblazer. No one's going to stop me from being what I want to be. No one's going to stop me from doing what I want to do. And you have done that from day one since I've known you. You've always done it. Sometimes it wasn't easy, but you did it. And you continue to do it. I watch you on TV. You're on yachts and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going like, man, get out of here. But I want you to talk to people, because a lot of people, if you look at that inspiration, you have a lot of people that say, well, I want to be a rapper. Well, what are the odds of everybody being a rapper? What are the odds of getting to the NBA? And what are the odds of being in the NFL? They're different than being a lawyer or whatever you want to be. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been a person who's been driven. You know, who doesn't believe in limitations or barriers that can't be crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, if you do the work and you do the things that need to be done, you take the chance. But you got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to do the work. You got to be willing to take the risk. You know, it's a risk moving out to California. It's not easy. I didn't know anybody when I moved out here. I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know where the river was going to take me. But sometimes you got to jump in and let the current take you. If you know you want to get downriver, you know, you just got to jump in the river. And there's probably going to be some rocks along the way and, you know, some scrapes and some scratches. But just be willing to ride it out, and at the end of it, you can get down the river where you're trying to go.
Well, you have to figure out, do you take the 405 or go down to 101 or all right. all that stuff down there?
Yeah.
Talk to the parents, and then I want you to talk to the teenagers out there about aspirations and leading. I know, you know, Michael Jordan was told in eighth grade that you stink and you'll never go anywhere. I would love to see that coach that said that. I would really love to see the coach. If you look at the coach, if you look at the quarterback for Cincinnati, there's a meme out there of him holding a clipboard of the team that he left, and he ended up going to LSU and ended up winning the Heisman and now in the Super Bowl. So, you know, if with hard work, dedication, you can be, but it's going to take some work. So talk to that parent out there that has those kids and they're just shaking their heads right now when they say, I'm going to be a rapper or whatever. Talk to them.
I mean, listen, I'm a new parent, and one thing that I've realized in the first 3 months of being a parent is there are two things that I don't try to judge people on how they do it or tell them how to do it. And that's how you do your marriage and how you raise your kids. So I say mm-hmm. that caveat, but for me, you know, my hope and my desire for how I want to raise my son is for him to believe that he can do whatever he wants and for him to take the shot at doing whatever he wants. Listen, mm-hmm. you're not going to make every single shot. That's the reality of it. You're going to miss some shots, right? You're going to fall down. You're going to get hurt. You're going to, you know, you might end up broke. You might end up whatever. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go for it. So from speaking to parents, I would say, look, encourage your kids. But the other side of that is, I think that why so many kids want to be these things are because it's the thing that they're most exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I knew a lawyer personally until I got to law school.
Well, come on, now speak now.
So, you know, I think exposing our kids to different things, exposing our kids to different opportunities, so that they can see other things that they might want to be other than just rapper, athlete, you know, whatever the case might be, introduce them to business owners and lawyers and doctors. And one thing that I've noticed in my career, for the most part, particularly in our community, is a lot of these professionals are so willing to open up their, you know, open up their hearts and their minds and all this stuff to the younger generation of people that are maybe looking to do some of the things that, that they're doing, whether it's doctors or lawyers or whatever. I have a cousin who just moved out to Los Angeles. She's going to law school. And I try to make it a point once a month to introduce her to a lawyer out here, to a black lawyer. And I'm constantly telling her, look, I know you're focused on school. I know you want to get good grades, but make sure you stay in touch with these people, have conversations with them. You're going to learn as much or more from that as you're going to learn from classes. So you just I want her to be exposed. She moved out here from Michigan, so she hadn't met, you know, a bunch of people in this space. And, you know, so I think exposing our kids to different things allows them to see who and what they can be, which is why, you know, kind of circling back to what we were talking about earlier, why it's important to have people of color in these various positions, mm-hmm. so that there's a reference point that our kids can look at and say, oh, I want to be that, I can be that.
Well, I mean, let's get to Jack Page. The only shot missed is the one not taken. Back to my girl, says parents support them trying some of anything, but when they find what they love, continue to support and encourage them. More questions coming up, but I want to see what you think about those two things.
Yeah, I mean, so what was it? Parents support them trying some of anything, but when they find what they love, continue to support and encourage them. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The more things you can try, again, the more you're exposed to, the more you realize what you like and don't like. And that's what I want to do. I want to just encourage my son and push him into to be great at whatever it is he decides that he loves.
The other one? The only shot missed is one not taken.
Yeah, I mean, I get what he's saying there, but it's not true. The shot missed is the shot that you took and missed. The difference is you can learn from the shots that you missed. Mm-hmm. Allow the shots that you missed to push you to be greater, right? Mm-hmm. You hear stories of, I won't even go back to like Kobe and Jordan. You hear stories of Giannis in his early days, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis would, if they lost games, he missed a game winner. He would go into the gym. He would go to like a high school gym late night. This is what I hear at least. Go to a high school gym in Milwaukee or wherever he was at. And he would replay the entire game.
Really?
In the gym by himself. He would replay the entire game. So I don't believe the only shot missed is the one not taken. The shot missed is the one that you took and missed. The real lesson is don't let the missed shot deter you from taking the next shot.
Ah, there you go. There you go. If you look at when you were talking about hard work, one thing that people don't know.
I'll just say this. The only opportunity missed is the shot not taken.
Okay. You look at Tiger Woods, for instance, after every doing a match. At the end of the day, when people were going to the 19th hole, he was out there hitting 400 balls. It's about that effort that you put in. How important, like you said, him replaying a basketball game. Or after, it's nighttime and you're out there hitting 400 shots. How important is going that extra mile to be that person that you want to be?
I mean, it's everything, you know. I heard this thing Kobe said. He talked about how he would practice more than anybody else. He was like, if I practice for 4 hours a day every day, 6 days a week, right? I'm 24 hours of practice. And the other guy is practicing, let's say, 2 hours a week, 4 days a week. So he's getting 8 hours of practice, right? My 24 to his 8 over the course of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, at a certain point, you get so far ahead that the next guy can't catch up. You put so much more work in that the next guy can't even catch up if he wanted to.
Well, you look at LeBron James and other players, there are Tom Brady, and there are people that take care of their bodies to be the best that they can be. And I just look at in basketball, the NBA, a player that was traded, that's not necessarily taking care of his body, but doing a lot of complaining. It's so important that you go the extra mile and you stop. I know in my life, there's a lot of people that said that you couldn't be, or they said there was not a, in like the JCs, for instance, there had never been a black president. And that's not going to stop me. I'm going to be that president. I'm going to run for office, and I'm not going to let that deter me. Talk a little more to now the younger generation about that.
About the hard work and stuff?
Yes.
I mean, listen, you're in the prime opportunity right now to get the jump start on everybody. Right, like you have all the time in the world to do the work, prepare yourself for whatever it is you want to be, like engross yourself in it. I wish that I would have been more that way growing up. I wish I would have been more just fully engrossed in whatever it is that I knew I wanted to be. Make yourself the best at it, and that only comes through hard work. It only comes through repetition. And so do it and do it again and do it again. And then when you're tired, do it some more. Until you get the result that you want.
Mm-hmm. Now you're out there in LA and you represent sports, music. Talk a little bit about those industries and being a lawyer and representing those people. What do you have to do? How do you get introduced to those individuals to trust you as representing them?
In terms of like how I get introduced and all that kind of stuff, a lot of it is just, you know, for me, the key is just being myself. I'm always myself. I'm always TJ from Muskegon. I don't try to put on, I don't try to be what I think other people are looking for me to be. I don't try to fit into what, you know, the new Hollywood fad is or anything like that. Like I'm just me, and I do me, and I am who I am. And the people that connect with that are people that will be clients, and the people that don't, you know, won't. They'll be friends or they'll be acquaintances or whatever else. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I try to operate in honesty. I try to operate in fairness. I don't ever want somebody to feel like, I don't want anybody to ever leave working with me feeling like I'm the sleazeball lawyer, you know, that everybody talks about.
Right. Just got grease all over you.
Right. You know, I don't want anybody to feel like that. I want people to feel like, oh, he's great. He's great to work with. You know, so. Yeah, that's, you know, and I've been fortunate to just continue to have people who, you know, who have been great clients and partners and friends. And it's been really good.
Let's go. Probably because he's not fake and he's been in the spot. They see, and now this is important. She said they see who he is and how much. And this is important, how he made it and believe in him off and on the field. I mean, it's crazy. I added a little bit because to that, because who TJ is as the owner of a football team is the same person. And TJ bowling at midnight is the same person, not trying to be Absolutely. Any different.
Absolutely.
And you find in L.A. or you find a lot of people feel that they have to be a chameleon, and they don't have to. They just have to be themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Just be yourself. That's always going to get you the furthest.
All right. It's 2:44. We're almost 15 minutes out of this interview, and I want to talk to – we're going to get TJ on because you guys are flooding us with questions. I want to talk to you about put a new hat on and talk about the next Supreme Court justice and how do you think that should be approached. President Biden said that it should go to an African-American woman. He's got some pushback on that. I want to get your opinion, what you think should happen.
I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with him saying he wants an African-American woman. I think that there's a need for diversity on the Supreme Court. I think that there's a need for varying perspectives on the Supreme Court. And that's a perspective that's never been there. It's never been in the room. I think a lot of people who complain about it base their complaint on the presumption like, well, he should hire the most qualified person, not just a black woman. But that argument to me is flawed, or that rebuttal is flawed, because the reality is it presumes that a black woman is not qualified, or that there's not a qualified black woman. Mm-hmm. I don't think that what President Biden is saying is that I'm not going to hire somebody who's qualified. I'm just going to make sure she's black. There are innumerable qualified black women that are, you know, that have the credentials and the intelligence and all of those things to be given that position. The travesty is that it hasn't happened. Just statistically, it should have happened if we're just basing it off of fairness, right? Mm-hmm. Like if there are X percentage of black women in America, then you would imagine that there would be a similar percentage represented in that branch of government. And so I don't have a problem with him saying it. I think some of the candidates that I've heard sort of names swirling around are extremely qualified. And I think it's going to be a much needed perspective on the bench.
Yeah, when you look at, it's a 6-3 conservative right now court with Justice Roberts leaning a little bit to the center. I think it's important, like you said, to get a different perspective in the room. And the travesty of this thing is, and it's 2022, that you have to be so specific and tell people, look at the opportunity that someone of color did not get to right. be in the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those things where, just like with the coaching thing we talked about, we're at a point in our country, and we've been at this point for a long time, that to change things, it takes an intentionality. Mm-hmm. We've seen that it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall into place. It doesn't just, there's qualified people, so the most qualified person is going to get it. No, there's been times, I'm sure, where a black woman has been the most qualified person for the position or for the opportunity and hasn't gotten it. So
didn't get it.
I struggle with this convenient argument of it should be the most qualified person. While I agree with that underlying sentiment, you weren't making that same comment when, you know, the white man who was less qualified than the black woman was in the job. You weren't screaming about, well, why is it another white guy who's not as qualified? It should be the most qualified person. So, you know, it's hard for me. I take it with a grain of salt, because the reality is, again, they are qualified. And who's to say they're not the most qualified?
TJ, you're blowing up the question board here. I mean, Wow. Jack Page, the 11 candidates are all qualified, some more than others. I agree. The argument is the argument is flawed. America should be fully represented. And then he says, and this is an era that needs fixing. Your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, to reiterate, like you said, I think they are all qualified. You know, some more than others is subjective, right? Because yes, some more than others, but some are more qualified based on one criteria, and some are, that same person could be less qualified based on another criteria. So, you know, but they are all qualified to be in this position. America should absolutely be fully representative, particularly this branch of government. And he said, and this is an area that needs fixing, which, I mean, the whole thing needs fixing, right? I believe and I hope that this area is, the Supreme Court is supposed to be nonpartisan. It's not, when we say 6-3, 5-4, all that, it really should, in theory, only be with respect to six of the justices were appointed by conservative presidents, not that six of the judges are conservatives, mm-hmm. because they're supposed to be nonpartisan.
Supposedly.
So, you know, so that I think is where it does need fixing. But I do think, and again, this is not to say that it doesn't need more work, but relative to other branches of government and other areas within our society, I think the Supreme Court has probably done a better job than most of maintaining some sort of, you know, some sort of nonpartisanship to it. Like, if you look at the number of cases that are resolved through unanimous or near unanimous decisions on the Supreme Court, it's much larger than the number of, let's say, pieces of legislation that get passed through unanimously in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So I think there's less of a partisan swing in that branch of government, but there really should be none.
Last question to Moraine. Boy, Moraine, you're blowing it up. Thank you. Well, nice to have you back this week. To be fair, the U.S., the United States, needs fixing in all areas from the top on down. Your opinion?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I just said. I think it's not just limited to the Supreme Court. It needs to be fixed in all areas. Like, you know, we have shortcomings across the board.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back, TJ, and talk to you about, you mentioned how important it is, the mentorship, about setting up people with other people to learn, like your person, that your family member that moved out to LA. How important is mentorship to our kids?
Oh, it's critical. It's critical. I would encourage every kid to be a part of some sort of mentorship. You know, reach out to somebody. You will be surprised how willing people are to be a mentor to young kids, particularly young Black kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of times people are scared to reach out or think that people are too busy, but do it. There's a few people that I had the opportunity to meet and were willing mentors that I allowed myself to talk myself out of, you know, really engaging with them, and you know, still regret it to this day, because they were willing and would have, you know, were great mentors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's critical.
I look at the mentors in my life, the Mr. Scott, Mr. McLean, in sixth grade, excuse me, that took the opportunity. And I mean, the mentors in my life, there have been so many, but I reached out to them, or they saw something in me and made me the person that I am.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
TJ, just a second. I want you to talk about the scholarships that you guys gave away with the high school football.
Yeah, so, you know, we did the Muskegon All-Star Classic, the All-Star football game for 7 years, and we were able to give away almost $100,000 in scholarships. We did almost 70 scholarships or over 70 scholarships to local Muskegon kids. And that's something that's always been important, no matter where I'm living at, being a part of the community in Muskegon has always been something that's important to me and giving back to it. So that's probably one of my most proud accomplishments.
How important is it that you see a lot of people to walk the walk, but to talk the talk, which you do?
I mean, it's everything, right? Like, anybody can talk about it, but let's be about it. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's everything.
We're down at 5 minutes, DJ, and we got, the questions. We're going to have to get you back on when the baby's a little older.
Yeah.
Because people have a lot of stuff that they want to talk about. Campaign finance and other things, and we'll get back to those questions when we have you on. I want to wrap it up. How should we? I know that I'm going to look at this Super Bowl a lot differently, especially after what happened with Flores. How should we look, and what's the next move that we should do? For instance, Lions fans, wake up. You're not going to win the Super Bowl because the Fords are only going to pay so much money because they know that you guys are faithful and you're going to continue to be Lions fans. They're not going to give. You're only going to have one or two good players. They're not looking to win like you can tell, like teams like Dallas and Kansas City and other teams that L.A., they spend the money to get the players. It's not going to happen in Detroit.
Got to pay to play, baby. TJ.
Huh?
Got to pay to play.
You gotta pay to play. Finally, TJ, I'm going to give you the last word because we got 4 minutes left. I want you to talk to the people because you have traveled. You see that life is more than just Muskegon. You're out there, man. I mean, I turn on the TV, you're there. I love Facebook, you're there. I listen to artists like Major, and I think about you. You're absolutely everywhere. You didn't take no for an answer. You didn't say my skin color is going to affect where I'm going to be. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Talk a little bit about that. Last word goes to you.
I think it's life is about perspective. Everybody is the main character in the story of their own lives. And, you know, any movie you ever watch, there's a perspective, right? The main character has a perspective, and that's what we're watching. And so for me, perspective is critical. I choose to have a positive outlook, a positive perspective on life, and a perspective that tells me I can do and be what I want to be. I'm not naive to the realities of the world. I'm not blind to the hurdles and the roadblocks that exist, but at the end of the day, I choose to have a perspective that says I can do it and I will do it as long as I do the work.
There you go. Just a couple comments that I want to give you. Moraine, let me say, Mr. Williams, thank you for your time and all you do. Jack Page, absolutely great guy. Jack Page again, thanks for the show, Greg and TJ. Anything you want to say to those people or all the people in Muskegon?
I mean, just thank you for thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gregory T. Appreciate you. And yeah, love you, man.
Hey, love you, man. Hey, listen, I'm going to come out in LA and give you some babysitting lessons, but give you some ball and give you some bowling lessons. Because you don't know how to respect, you don't know how to respect your elders, son.
Listen, listen. This student has become the teacher.
With that note, it's Super Bowl weekend. You will have watched Torn in Two with Terrence Williams, short TJ. He is a wonderful guy. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to sow a seed into a kid's life or a parent's life, this show repeats itself. Have somebody watch this show, because this is a guy that said, you know, no matter my parents' skin color, no matter where I grew up at, no matter whatever diversity I may face, I'm going to be what I want to be. And this is living proof. You take care, brother, and God bless you. And
love you, man.
Deborah Troy, hello, and kiss the baby for me.
Absolutely. All right, brother.
All right, take care. Listen, people, you've been watching and listening to Torn It 2. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I want you to think and watch the Super Bowl in a different way this week. We have the first woman that's been an official. It has took that long for that to happen. We can't sit up and let 70% of the people plan on in the NFL, or 82 to 85% of the people that play in the NBA, not be represented, have coaches or people that they can look up to. Take care. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you next week on Torn It 2. We have a great show. Next week, we have a woman that's coming on that said that she can teach kids how to read in 30 days. Take care and God bless.
When smoking gives you COPD, you learn to lie a little bit. You make up excuses like, I have to get my keys. You guys go on. Anything.